Hey, everybody, I'm Eric Mueller, and welcome back to The Eric Mueller Show, the podcast where we explore what makes any successful person's inner clock tick. Today, we're diving into two of my passions, sports and investing. My guest today is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Prediction Strike. Now, his company is a fantasy sports stock market that allows its users to buy and sell shares of their favorite professional athletes as if they were stocks. How incredible does that sound? Devin Hurt saw a golden opportunity at the intersection of personal finance and fantasy sports, an opportunity that had been magnified by the recent trend of stock market gamification. It feels like everybody these days is playing the stock markets, getting involved in cryptocurrency, what have you. Devin's background is impressive. In addition to earning a bachelor's degree from Harvard University, where he's now currently in law school, he's had stints at Google, Microsoft, the NBA, and Nike. Prediction Strike was born from his passion for sports, and it aims to serve every type of sports fan. Since 2018, Prediction Strike has already completed over $4.5 million worth of transactions, and it's received $1.9 million in funding. Devin's big dream is to bring consumer investing into an exciting new arena where you can't think about sports without thinking about an athlete's share price. I'm eager to share with you Devin's story of what it's like to navigate the uncharted waters of entrepreneurship and industry disruption. I know you sports fans will especially enjoy this episode. Let's head on over to the interview. All right, so welcome back to the Eric Mueller Show, a podcast where we explore what makes any successful person's inner clock tick. Today, we've got a really unique guest. We've got Devin Hurt on the show here. Devin, welcome.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for having me. And hey, everyone, glad to be here.
What really makes Devin so unique? So I'll let you in on what makes him unique here, everybody. So I'm a massive sports fan. I especially love fantasy sports, but I also love investing. And so Devin and I are about to have a fun time today because he's the co-founder and CEO of a company that combines fantasy sports and stock market investing. So share with me, Devin, what makes your company Prediction Strike so unique?
Sure. Prediction Strike, it's exactly like you said. It combines the stock market, investing, fantasy sports, just sports fandom. The idea is, well, what if you combine sell shares of your favorite athletes as if they were stocks? And that's what Prediction Strike is. You can download the app, go to the website, sign up. And that's exactly what you can do. Buy and sell shares of your favorite athletes.
And so share with me how this idea came to be. I've read a little bit of the story. You know, you've got a co-founder, is it one of your close childhood friends that you've grew up with. And, you know, you both share a passion for sports and you kind of had this idea come to you. Share the story of how that happened.
So if my co-founder, like you said, one of my best friends, his name is Brad. We were just talking one day. I mean, we talk all the time. We have for years, especially now we run this company. We talk all day, every day. But we were just talking one day. It was May of that year, so NBA playoff time. We were talking about both the NBA playoffs and just what was happening. I remember LeBron was doing LeBron things, as he loves to do. And also, we were just talking about the stock market. He was complaining he lost some money in some stock and it was annoying. And so he said, well, what if I could just put my money in LeBron? We're like, wait, what if you could? What would that feel like? And that's what led to it. We started thinking, if you are a sports fan, then it's probably easier for you to decide, I want to put my money in LeBron than, I don't know, any random company. Like when it comes to companies, there's like probably like a top 10 or something like that you think your money's pretty safe in. But after that, it gets a little bit dicey. So what if you could just put your money in LeBron?
Yeah, so it really was kind of that seed that planted in there that you know allowed you and Brad to want to pursue this. So I guess kind of explain, you know, building the company. How did you take that idea and actually create a real company around it? Do either of you have, you know, coding experience or app building experience?
I had coding experience. I had built like one app. And it was not very pretty. It was the first app. It was like a computer science, just learning how to do it thing. And this was when I actually had to learn a lot. A lot of my previous experience was very theoretical, just these very small projects. this was me learning how to take something from completely nothing and a blank idea to something that can be out in the world and is production ready.
Yeah. So you really, you had some experience. I know, you know, you briefly had some stints at Google, Microsoft, Nike, NBA. You had certain, you know, experiences that way. You've got a bachelor's degree from Harvard, and you're also, I mean, you're still in school at Harvard. Is that right, Devin?
That's right. That's right. I'm at the law school now.
All right. How many years do you have left of that?
This is my second year now. It's a 3-year program, but it's first semester's almost over. So I guess about a year and a half.
That's exciting. Clearly, education has been a big piece of your life. So, I mean, you had a lot of experience in that way. Have you had experiences building companies prior to Prediction Psych, or is this your first venture?
Sort of. This is the first one that went anywhere. Brad and I actually worked on 2 or 3 other startups in college. My official major was in bioengineering. So we did some startups in the medical and the med tech space. They really just went nowhere. No customers, no investors, no nothing. A lot of just us exploring what it takes to build a company, to go out there and validate that people want this, that you are the team that can build this, that can sell this, things like that. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of lessons learned before this, but this was the first one that I guess was real.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've seen, I mean, recently, I'm into crypto, I'm into stock market investing. I mean, you've kind of seen throughout the pandemic, like, it's kind of been gamified in a way. There's a lot of new retail traders, consumers investing in a new arena, so to speak. So I think, I mean, the way your company kind of fits in, it really kind of blends a nice, you know, kind of hits a nice mix, in other words, because you have probably a lot of sports fans that maybe haven't thought about investing, and maybe they're into some different traditional stocks, or they maybe have retirement accounts, but really, like, I mean, you're giving them a new avenue, a really innovative new business model to kind of blend those together. So, I mean, you're really in uncharted waters here, Devin. I think, like, you're an industry disruptor, in other words.
We're trying to be. And I think it really did come from this realization that the idea, like you're saying, of investing has changed. Yeah. Investing at one point very much meant you call up your stockbroker, and you give them some money, and they, you know, go do whatever they do, and they're wearing a 3-piece suit, and that's wonderful. And now investing is just you putting money in something that you reasonably believe is going to be worth more, or something you believe in, and that's everything at this point. There's the intangible assets. Obviously, crypto is buzzing like never before. NFTs are buzzing. And then some people are taking some of these more real world things and bringing them to that investment model. There's startups around making art pieces an investment, wines, old cars, trading cards. There's all these different things that it's kind of blurring this line of, like, I'm buying this because I like it and I think I can sell it for more, and what it really meant at some point that to have an investment. And I think for me personally, investment is whatever you understand and whatever you think is going to kind of be profitable for you in the future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, even like, you know, you mentioned, you know, the traditional broker where you'd have them, you know, you give them some money and they do their thing. You know, they don't even really know what's going to happen. No one really knows what's going to happen with anything. I mean, so I think, yeah, it's you're very true on that as far as what you believe in, that can be a great investment for you. And it may not always pan out, like you just shared with entrepreneurship. An important piece is that you're probably going to experience some hardship and setbacks on the way. So you and your co-founder, you know, now with Prediction Strike is working, but the first few attempts at creating something were not as successful. So I think that's, you know, the business model itself is really a testament to just how unpredictable things can be, both investing and entrepreneurship. So that's a very important piece for people listening to note. So appreciate you hitting on that, Devin.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. I think that is the biggest thing. Be as smart as you can, especially with your money. You really never know what's going to happen. And on the business side, it is a lot about just never giving up. We failed at 2 or 3 startups, and that doesn't mean you can never build a business or you can never do that thing, but you just have to keep going.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Prediction Strike specifically. So how do the stocks move? Or if someone's listening and they're like, wow, this really sounds like me, I want to get involved, I've had experience doing fantasy sports, like how do I know what I'm doing? Or what, you know, share us a little bit about how it works and how someone can win at it. So how someone can make some money.
Sure. So share prices move in 2 ways. And what we said is, well, I guess stepping back a second, what we said is we needed to vastly simplify the stock market in a way that we could just explain to people. So that's what we did. We said each game is kind of like an earnings report. It's basically a check-in on how this player is actually doing, right? Is the game. So something needs to happen with game performance. And so on Prediction Strike, as you do better than your fantasy projections, your share price is going to go up. And as you kind of miss those projections, your share price is going to go down. So that's basically saying, look, if you're kind of playing right within your role and what we want you to do, share price kind of stays the same. If you exceed that, it goes up. If you miss, it goes down. That kind of makes sense.
Sure.
And the other thing is replicating the supply and demand. It's just other users buying and selling. So now if you are buying shares, I guess, of that rookie before they kind of get popular and before everyone wants in on them, you should get rewarded for that in some way, right? Or yeah, you bought shares of someone, like, I don't know, maybe you knew, you just had a feeling so-and-so was going to get like polled and the new guy was getting the starting job. So now you should be rewarded for that. You were smart. You were there first. And then conversely, as other users start to sell shares, those share prices are also going to fall.
Yeah. And so you are, is the company creating those projections? Or I'm sure people listening are familiar with, you know, ESPN sets their projections, but you also have other sites that could be setting projections or rankings. So is this an in-house projection that is being created, or do you use an outside source to make those assessments?
We use an outside source. We just want the way, I guess we want to be as impartial as possible.
Yeah.
So for us, it's also just not our business to really create these projections. There are people who absorb tons of data. I mean, our data provider absorbs things down to weather, of course, recent games, just everything that's like, okay, let's let you do that. You do your business, we'll do ours. And yeah, it's just a lot easier that way.
Yeah. I think another question too, at least it was on my mind, and this question is actually answered on your website, but I'm gonna ask you, you know, to describe it for the people listening. How is it different than a DraftKings or a FanDuel? What really makes Prediction Strike so much different than those two, you know, mainstream platforms, so to speak, in the fantasy sports market?
Right. Those platforms are, I mean, of course, they're called daily fantasy sports for a reason. So let's just start there. Everything is about how is that athlete going to do tonight. I kind of build my roster of players based on a salary for tonight, and that's just kind of how it works. Okay, that makes sense. Well, also, we said, look, if you want to invest in something, you want to be there for the ride, right? Like what would it be like if you invested in LeBron 18, 19 years ago, and you just held on to that? Imagine that. That would be just, I mean, that, like, the connection would be so different. Mm-hmm. And you could also just say simply, I was there. I knew way back when that this athlete was going to blow up. And so that's a big thing for us. It's you. We want to give you the power to tell the story your way and to shape your own story. We don't want to lock you into just a one day kind of all or nothing sort of event. We want it to be like, I want to ride with this guy for tonight, this week, this year, as long as he's on my favorite team, whatever it might be. And that's what we're trying to give users the power to do, and not just be kind of fixed on this all or nothing short term time horizon that FanDuel and DraftKings bring.
Yeah. So I've kind of got two questions built off of that. So the first thing that comes to my mind with daily fantasy sports is if I play a player and they play for the first quarter of, let's say it's an NFL game, and then they go down with an injury and they're out. So obviously, like, I'm dead in the water there because, I mean, maybe they scored some points ahead of time, but they're not going to score for the rest of the game. So I'm curious to ask, with Prediction Strike, if I own, let's just say LeBron, for instance, and he goes down with a season-ending injury 3 or 4 years after I've owned him. So I've maybe made some money, but now, I guess, I mean, am I in big trouble with that? Or how does an injury take effect on Prediction Strike?
You are not necessarily in big trouble, which is, I think, a big thing people like.
Yeah.
If you kind of had a bet on LeBron for that season or something, you'd basically be dead in the water, right?
Yeah.
Whereas we kind of see it as, look, especially if it's not a career-ending injury, maybe it's he's out for a week, a month. It kind of depends on when that happens. So, for example, if it's in the game, say it's halfway through the game, pretty decent chance he misses his fantasy projection for that game. He might go down 3%, 5%, even 10%, something like that. But that's all it is. You took a small loss on that as opposed to losing all your money. Mm-hmm. And now you can kind of decide what you want to do. Do you want to sell out of that? Or do you want to hold it and say, look, he's coming back. He's coming back with a vengeance. I know people are going to buy shares when he comes back, and I'm going to start to profit off that. So you can kind of really just forge your own journey.
Sure. And if, and kind of, so that's one question. The second question I had was, what if I want to sell. Like, what if a player is doing really, really well in the middle of a game and I want to try to get out and sell? I'm like, okay, here's the peak. Am I able to do that with Prediction Strike, or do I have to wait till the game's over?
You can't do that yet.
Okay.
But it is coming. Live trading is definitely coming. So that's kind of the sneak peek here.
Yeah.
So not yet, but it is on the way. It's firmly on the roadmap. And we actually, funny enough, had a planning meeting encompassing that yesterday.
Really?
So, yes. Very awesome. Soon.
Yeah. That's great. I know reading the updates on your blog on the website, you know, that you have plans to add some more sports soon. I mean, back in August of this year, 21, you said UFC was going to be coming, and then, you know, maybe MLB, European soccer, NCAA. So, I mean, are you in the UFC pipeline yet? Has that been officially released, or where are we at with
that? Yes, just great timing last weekend with UFC.
Ah, all right.
So phenomenal timing. So exactly. You're exactly right about that. UFC just came out. We want to get baseball in for their next season, which is kind of early part of next year. We're going to be looking to get European soccer, especially ahead of the World Cup. That's as big as sports gets. Probably going to get hockey in next year as well, for the start of that season.
Yep.
And then we kind of have a good spread of the major sports at least, and we'll kind of figure it out from there.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, looking at the history of the company, Devin, so I mean, looking at the bio, it's completed over $4.5 million worth of transactions on your network. You've raised almost $2 million in funding. So clearly, I mean, this is, you know, you had a proof of concept probably where you wanted to test the market, see if this would be something that would work. And it clearly did. So, I mean, you have people believing in you, people backing you. I mean, that's got to be an incredible feeling as an entrepreneur, I would think, after, you know, like you mentioned, a few setbacks with yourself and Brad early on in those endeavors.
No, it has to. It feels amazing. It feels like we actually did it. And I think that's kind of the thing. It's like, oh, we're here. We really made this happen, because you can, everyone has great ideas or what you think are great ideas, as you can tell by our previous failures. And it's not until you get out there and release it and get people using it, get people touching it, getting people just like yelling at you. Like, have you ever like tried to talk to people on the internet? It is terrible. You know, it's like, until you go through all of that, you don't know if it's actually going to work and if anyone's going to care. And so for us, taking it from Brad and I talking, being like, this is going to be great, like, we're going to love this, to, oh, wait, other people love this. That's what means everything to us.
Yeah. And when did you know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Did both you and Brad always have this bug in your minds? Like, you know, you say how long have you been friends? You say childhood friends, at least in some of your biography.
So we've been friends since elementary school, and we've become increasingly better friends over the years, because Brad and I are from the same hometown. So we went to the same elementary, middle, and high school together.
Wow.
So, and it wasn't the world's biggest high school. It was a graduating class of like 400 and change. So like enough that we were pretty close. We were in a lot of classes together over the years, and we just kept getting closer and closer. And so Brad and we didn't set out to be entrepreneurs. I think it was always, well, this would be cool if we could create our own company, create our own empire. And then it was actually a mentor of mine who encouraged me to turn what was the first startup into a startup. I was kind of like, hey, I'm working on this thing in my computer science class. Here's like the problems I see with the market. This is why it could be pretty cool. This is what I'm thinking. And she's like, oh yeah, why don't you turn that into a company? I was kind of like, what? She's like, yeah, you should start a company. You're in college. Kind of the barrier to entry is relatively low, especially now with software. Everything's fairly cheap. She's like, and if you fail, you stay in college and get a degree and a job. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Checks out. So I started doing it, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do something that felt completely new. It's always exciting. It's always fast paced. And it's like, I'm making a difference here. And there's an element of that that I don't think you get with working a lot of jobs for other people, especially it's very easy to get lost in the sauce at some of those big firms. So it's been fun to do this for ourselves. And also, I mean, Brad's my best friend. The team has since expanded to other guys who we absolutely love. Mm-hmm. But when you're kind of in those early days and it's like, this might all fall apart tomorrow, there's just no one I'd rather have done that with.
Yeah. And it sounds like, thinking of the story of how the idea came about, where you're, you know, he had recently, your friend Brad had lost some money in the stock market in the short term, and and was like, gosh, it'd be a lot easier to just invest in our favorite athletes, you know, because we're confident in them and it's, you know, probably just as good of a bet.
Yep.
That, you know, is one way to generate an idea and have it just kind of come to you that way. And I'm sure, you know, there's other pieces in play to get there, but do you have any strategies for people listening as far as how to generate new ideas? Or, you know, if you're thinking how to expand prediction strike, obviously you have a, you know, a foundation now to build off of, but if someone is thinking in their mind, like, gosh, I've got kind of a good idea, but I'm not sure if I'm there yet, how can I generate more entrepreneurial ideas going forward?
Yeah, I think the big thing is you have to look at things, and it's not even critically as much as it is just almost kind of with a what if mindset, or just what is the core problem here? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole thing. It's like, there's so many, a part of what Brad and I were also thinking about is, well, why don't we bet on sports? Mm-hmm. We're like, well, it's super risky. It's kind of luck. That's not for us. And we're like, okay. And so, which the stock market, yes, has some risk and some elements of luck, but it feels like a lot of that is de-risked. So we're kind of like, oh, this makes sense for people like us.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place to start. Actually, now I say it live, look at people like you, like what is not quite right about your job? Maybe if you're a parent and you find something particularly difficult about childcare, or things like that. It's like, okay, well, what if I had this, or what if this changed? And now you can start thinking, how could I change it? What makes sense? Or even just, why is it the way it is? Sometimes it just kind of has been that way. No one really knows why it is the way it is. And sometimes it's like, oh, it's this way because, you know, like, you're not going to open up a bank, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's seven levels of regulation. So you can't be like, well, what if I could lend my friends money at 3%? Like, that's not going to happen, right? But it's like, start thinking critically about those things and, like, you know, find what you can change. And of course, we have the skill sets to do. And then I think the most important thing is just whatever it is, just release it, get it out there, get it into the world, get people using it, yelling at you, or whatever it is, but get it out there. That's the only way you're going to see if it has legs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great advice for anybody listening that wants to do that. You know, think about what problems are affecting you personally. I know that's something I've tried to do, is just think of what's something in my daily life that is burdensome that I maybe could try to fix, or what is there something that's being solved, but maybe not being solved as effectively as it could be. So certainly, I mean, phenomenal tips there, Devin. I think that's, I mean, you've seen it pay great dividends for yourself in terms of how your company is going right now. I mean, your plan for the future, Prediction Strike, what does that look like? What are your big hopes and dreams with this? Are we gonna take over FanDuel and DraftKings, or what's the plan there?
I think we want to, I think we can be bigger than that. We want to be the real stock market for sports fans, and we want it to be that. If you are a sports fan, which a lot of people are, more people play fantasy football than invest in the stock market in the States.
Yeah.
So we want, I mean, I'm not sure what the numbers are globally on things like that, but the idea is sports are just so big. As big as you think the stock market is, there's a lot of people with a lot of money doing it, but this is for everyone. Mm-hmm. So we want to be the true global center of sports. Like, we want it to be, I want to invest in this guy coming out of high school. So when you think of sports, you think of us. We're seamless from your sports experience. You can't talk about LeBron without talking about his share price.
Yeah.
You can't, when you're arguing with your friends about who's going to be the better player, like, okay, let's both buy shares and see who does better at the end of this year, right? That's what it needs to be, that this is so intertwined with sports and entertainment for you that it isn't just a platform. It isn't just a service or something. It is like what the stock market is. When you talk about a company's performance, you say, well, the share price did this. That's what we need. We want it to be that big.
That's incredible. I know that was one piece. I'm glad you said that, because when I was looking at your website and researching your company, that was something I really loved, was, you know, just that future vision of when someone hears a news blurb about LeBron or Tom Brady, they immediately they think, how is this going to affect my portfolio? To me resonated so much, because I'm like, that sounds awesome. You know, fantasy football is only a season and then it's done. I mean, you could bet on sports all year round, but kind of like you said earlier too, sports betting in a way, I think it's a lot of fun, but it's an all or nothing type thing too. I mean, you have $100, you put it out there, and you could even spread it across a few bets, but if those don't hit, it's gone. It doesn't have a chance to come back later. So it's like that. I think that's a unique thing your company has is, I mean, you could be in the red for quite some time and then immediately come back into the black later in the year because, you know, the player returned from injury sooner than expected or something. So,
mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. No, that's what we want. And you're right. Sports betting has a huge place in society and it is a lot of fun, but I don't think it's for everyone and not all the time. You know, I think I'd be more comfortable if it was like, yeah, I'll put $1,000 somewhere and, you know, it might go up 3% today. It might go down 5%, but there's a lot more control and I can move that money around to different players. Then it's like, all right, this $1,000 is all or nothing right now. And you know how it is. It's always the last play of the game. You're just sitting there sweating, just, I can't do it. So that's what this is for. This is for people who aren't just there or maybe aren't there all the time.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, another topic of note here is with Prediction Strike, I've read that you want to incorporate the actual athletes in the company as well in terms of, you know, giving them, you know, a percentage of what they're making. So I think, I mean, that's a very noble aspect. And I think it's another thing to bring about is that we haven't seen FanDuel or DraftKings or other companies do that yet. You know, they're being kind of greedy in a way. They're not, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you recall back when Taylor Swift and Spotify, I think, or Apple Music, I can't remember. Yes. There was that thing where she was like, I don't want to give that away for free, so to speak. So a lot of athletes might feel the same way as she does. But with your company, the plan is to maybe bridge that gap. Is that right?
100%. The way we see it is athletes, I mean, at the end of the day, they are the sport, right? Mm-hmm. And so we couldn't be doing any of these things that are, I guess, derivative of their performance without them. So why not bring them on board? Why not give them something? I mean, it's the right thing to do. And two, we think it's part of unlocking the future for us. And so you'll see some announcements and some content starting to come out in the future, but it's like, what if you could have quarterly shareholder meetings with your favorite athletes? Because now they're partners with us. What if you could all of a sudden, maybe the top 20 shareholders get the signed jersey or entered into a raffle to get tickets or things like that? What if we could just bring you closer to those athletes? And what if the athletes could get closer to their fans? I mean, for so many of them, that's what this is about. It's about the fans. The fans are what drive their brand value just as much as on-court performance. Mm-hmm. So what if we could actually do that for you instead of just making it? And that's, again, that goes back to us trying to fully integrate with your sports experience. We want the athletes to be interwoven within Prediction Strike as well, instead of just there's athletes over here, there's Prediction Strike on my phone, there's this ESPN article over here. Let's tie it all together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think as a sports fan, that sounds very intriguing to me. I know that sounds like, I mean, I'm sure people listening right now, if you love sports, you I don't know how you could not be excited hearing some of the things Devin's talking about. Devin, man, I think you've struck gold here, my friend. I mean, it looks like I certainly hope and will be cheering you on and rooting for you going forward, because I think you really have a possibility of expanding and doing and achieving your dreams with that. I mean, that's obviously my opinion, but I believe in it, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that's what it's all about. You know, Brad and I had the vision, but now there's millions of people we need to make believe in this. And that's what's important. So that means everything to hear you say that. And yeah. I just hope, I hope other people feel the same way.
You know, I think they will. And part of what I'm wondering too is in terms of getting the word out and sharing it with, you know, the millions of people, like you said, there's millions of sports fans around the world, not only the US, but around the world. What have you seen as effective marketing techniques for this company? Have you found social media to be, you know, successful, or are you running email campaigns? I guess what have you found to be good strategies in that way for marketing?
One huge thing for us has been podcasts, actually. It's great to talk to people. Either they hear our voice or hear their favorite podcast host just talk about us. Make it feel more real. Don't, like, I think we as a society are starting to get a little tired of being sold things and just getting things pushed at us. Mm-hmm. I feel like on social media, I'm almost oblivious to ads now. Yeah. like I see them, but I don't like internalize the content because it just looks so much like an ad and it just doesn't feel like part of what I was looking at.
Yeah.
So that's been really helpful, but also we have a referral program, where you friend use your referral code, you get a free share. So that's been huge also. Sports are social. Yep. If you're doing something with sports, you're probably going to tell your friends about it. So you might as well bring them along and you both get a reward for it.
Yeah.
So that's also been really helpful. And social media content has been really good for us. Just making sure we're active on social media, talking to users, putting out posts about games, tweeting about things. That's huge. Everyone's on social media these days, and people just want to see that we're around and that we're a real company.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I agree with your point there with the ads. I mean, there's certain ads I see on my Facebook that I've seen them a few times. I mean, I really do. I see it and just keep scrolling because it kind of goes in one eye and out the other. I'm not really like paying attention to what they're selling anymore. And maybe it's worked for some people, but yeah, I think that's, I'm glad that the podcasting space is working for you because I think it gives you a chance to tell your story too. And, you know, really a big piece of this podcast, kind of what my mission was setting out with this was really to explore what keeps people driven towards the success that they're chasing. So I've got kind of two questions for you here as we close down the interview. And the first one is, we'll have you define the term success, what it means to you, and then really explain, if you can, what is one or a few driving forces that keep your inner clock ticking towards the success that you're chasing, both in your personal life or prediction strike. You know, you can really kind of handle that any way you want. But starting off, Devin, what is success to you?
Wow. I love that question. That's probably not something I've thought about as much as I should have. For me, I think success would be, right now, success is prediction strike, changing the world, and changing the way we consume sports. That's what it is for me. And I think that is bigger than even just getting a lot of users, having a lot of money flowing through a platform. It is, I want this to be a game-changing product that really now we don't leave the world in the same place. And I contrast that to say we created like a casino, right? Mm-hmm. There's a casino like everywhere, in certain states or something like that, but that's not new. That didn't really do anything. Maybe it's a large commercial success, but it's not new. I think it's like, let's bring something new to people. Let's change their lives. Let's change how they think. Let's change how sports fans feel.
Yeah.
So I think that would be success for me right now.
Yeah. That certainly sounds like a great definition, and definitely, you know, hopefully you'll continue to see success with your company. So as you get up every day, as you get up out of bed and begin your work, you know, whatever your day might bring, what are the forces within your life that keep you driven towards chasing that success? Or, you know, specifically, you know, if you could narrow it down to even one single driving force that keeps you driven towards success, Devin.
Wow. These questions are phenomenal. One thing that keeps me driving towards success, I think it is, broadly, it is somewhat broadly, but I'll explain it. I think it's the people in many ways. I think now I have a responsibility in this to a lot of people, whether those are investors, our team members, our users. There's a lot of people out there. And I think that's very important to remember that these are real people. Mm-hmm. Especially like, it's very easy if you run a consumer startup to see users as kind of like parts of a spreadsheet, right? But these are individuals that have their own stories, their own everything. Our team members left what were potentially great jobs to work with us, to work for us. Our investors gave us very real money, depending on who they are. It was maybe not easy for them to kind of come up with this money. So it's like there is a human element to this. And so you have to remember that kind of every day that I kind of want to stay in bed or something like that. It's like, well, there's a lot of people that I'm also doing this for. It's not just about me.
Yep, you got people depending on you. And I think to bring it all home, you know, your mindset is that of an athlete, really. So I mean, you have your fans dependent on you. You have your family. You have your coworkers, your teammates. People are dependent on you to succeed. So to hear you say that keeps you driven, I think that's very inspirational, Devin. And I mean, really, just a phenomenal way to close out the interview. I cannot thank you enough for making the time to be part of the Eric Mueller Show and share your story. And I'm going to be joining Prediction Strike later today. I did download the app. I wanted to talk to you first before I started, you know, just as a rite of passage for me. But everybody else on the show notes, I'll tag all the links to you know, get to the website, the app. Devin, what's the best way to contact you if someone wants to reach out?
Definitely. So, well, Eric, first of all, just thank you for having me here. It's been great. For anyone who wants to reach out to me, the best way for me is probably Twitter. Sure. On there as Devin Hurt, DevenHurt. Not too hard to find. I'm on Instagram, terrible at it, wouldn't even try. We have people who manage the Prediction Strike Instagram and Twitter. So I'm sure if you forget about my personal accounts, reach out to them. And they will definitely forward the message along. And like I said, they do manage it for us. So they're a little bit more active than I am. But really social media is the best. But please, or also feel free to email us at kind of the Prediction Strike email, say hi, Devin, or to Devin, anything. And it'll work its way to me. I'm around.
That's great. Well, Devin, thanks for being on. Everybody, reach out to Devin, follow his company, download the app. If you're a sports fan, you need to be on that app. So I'll be posting and promoting it throughout my social channels. And yeah, really wish you and Brad the best of luck with Prediction Strike, Devin.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's been great to be here. I really appreciate the time. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Absolutely, man. Take care.